Today on More to Life, Mercy Me. We'll get ready for Divine Mercy Sunday by discovering how to forgive ourselves and others. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Mercy Me. This coming Sunday is Divine Mercy Sunday, and we wanted to take the opportunity to talk about forgiveness, both of ourselves and others. Join the conversation, 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. And tell us, are you struggling to forgive yourself or others? Maybe you're having a hard time letting go of the anger or resentment you feel toward someone you hurt you. Somebody who hurt you, excuse me. Maybe you've told someone you forgive them, but you're still not sure you can trust them. Maybe someone's accusing you of being unforgiving. Or for that matter, do you tend to beat yourself up for past mistakes or struggle to forgive yourself or feel forgiven by God or others? As we reflect on this Divine Mercy Sunday coming up, we want to help you discover the peace and grace that comes from embracing the gifts of mercy and forgiveness. 877-573-7825.
And of course, as we talk about Divine Mercy Sunday and forgiveness, we must understand that God's divine mercy, yes, washes away our sins. He has an immense well of forgiveness to share with us. But that's the first step. What God's really trying to give us is healing. He wants to heal the wounds that this world causes us, that our own fallenness causes us. He wants to heal our relationship with Him, and yes, even our relationships with each other, to the best of our ability to cooperate with His grace and His mercy in this life. And so, as we talk about forgiving others, forgiving ourselves, often we go to confession, and if you haven't, and there's something that there's need for forgiveness in your life, please go. And this is the perfect week to go if you haven't gone yet, because it is Divine Mercy Sunday on Sunday, and there's so much grace poured out if you go to confession this week. So take advantage of the Sacrament of Reconciliation this week and whenever possible. But then we have to say, all right, Lord, how do you want me to heal myself and this relationship? Because often we accept His forgiveness, but then we say, well, I can never trust somebody again. How can I trust somebody again? How can I trust myself? I'm this kind of person. They're that kind of person. And we have these messages in our head that accepted God's mercy, gave forgiveness to ourselves or others, and then pull us back into self-doubt, into the wounds of it all festering. So how do we forgive? And most importantly, how do we heal ourselves and our relationships? That's what we're inviting you to begin exploring in your life today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, you know, listeners may not know, especially if you're younger, but it was St. John Paul who gave us Divine Mercy Sunday, the celebration of God's mercy the week after Easter Sunday. And, you know, we make the case often, because we talk a lot about the theology of the body on this program, you know, that St. John Paul, in giving us the theology of the body, was really trying to describe, you know, God's plan for fulfillment in our own lives and for abundant relationships. But he also promoted divine mercy because he wanted to remind us that the high standards that St. John Paul describe for, you know, an abundant life and healthy, holy relationships, they're not, it's not something we do entirely on our own.
Right? Exactly.
You know, that we ultimately have to rely on God's mercy to make up for the limitations and the offenses that we commit against each other, and bring about the healing in us and our relationships that make the kind of relationships the theology of the body says is possible. So let's talk about it today on More to Life. We're discussing forgiveness, both forgiving yourself and forgiving others, and what that means, what it entails, and the challenges that we all face in making forgiveness happen. 877-573-7825. Speaking of St. John Paul, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, what exactly is that? Why should I care? And how could it possibly help me forgive myself or others? I'm glad you're asking those questions. So St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections on how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships, primarily by prayerfully reflecting on God's design in creation, especially of the body, and how God works with us through salvation history.
Pope John Paul II saw mercy and the theology of the body as going hand in hand, and he promoted the popular devotion to divine mercy right alongside the principles outlined in the theology of the body. Theology of the body reveals that God has incredibly high expectations for us and our relationships, but he knows that we can't fulfill our destiny on our own power. All of us will inevitably stumble and fall along the way. The only way we can hope to achieve the heights we're destined for is by leaning into God's abundant mercy and forgiveness, and by sharing that same mercy and forgiveness with others.
So at the same time, forgiveness doesn't require us to pretend that an offense didn't occur, or that things are better than they actually are. St. Augustine said that forgiveness is the process of letting go of our natural desire to hurt someone for having hurt us. That makes sense, because forgiving is part of loving, and loving someone means working for their ultimate good. You know, in this light, you can see that forgiving others means desiring the good for them and doing our best to work for their good, even when we don't really feel like it. And forgiving ourselves means surrendering our natural tendency to beat up on ourselves, and instead working to heal and develop the skills necessary to do better next time. Both of these are ways that we practice mercy, which is all about treating ourselves and others in a manner that reminds us of our dignity and worth in God's eyes. 877-573-7825. We're talking about forgiveness today on our show titled Mercy Me. We're getting ready for Divine Mercy Sunday by discovering what it takes to forgive others and forgive ourselves. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those offenses that we've committed against others, those offenses that others have committed against us, the times when we have let others down or let you down. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us the grace to understand how to forgive, how to receive your forgiveness, and how to share that forgiveness with us, with those in our lives, including ourselves. We ask that you would give us the grace that we need to not beat up on others or beat up on ourselves, but instead to cooperate with your grace to bring about healing in our own life, in our own relationships, so that we can build your kingdom in the face of those offenses and cooperate with the grace that you give us to bring healing where hurt exists. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary And in the name of the
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Mercy Me. As we talk about this upcoming Divine Mercy Sunday, we're reflecting on the challenge of forgiving others and even ourselves. 877-573-7825. Call up and share. Are you having a hard time letting go of the anger or resentment you feel towards someone? Maybe even after you've said that you forgive them. Maybe you've forgiven them, but you're not sure whether you can trust them or know what it takes to reconcile with that person, especially if they keep doing that thing over and over again. Maybe somebody's accusing you of being unforgiving. Or for that matter, maybe you are struggling to forgive yourself, and you have a tendency to beat up on yourself for past mistakes or sins that you've committed that God has forgiven you for or others have even forgiven you for. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Joe, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kentucky.
Hi, Joe. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Hi. Well, I've been really trying to learn about forgiveness. I was in the military for quite a while. Did military stuff and having a hard time getting over it. But here's my questions. I mean, questions for it. Because if you guys can answer these for me, then it would really help me in life. Question one, do I have to repent to God, or will God forgive me without repentance?
Well, yeah, you have to repent to receive God's forgiveness. God's mercy covers all of us, but in order to cooperate with that mercy, to receive that mercy, we have to say that we want it.
Because we're in relationship with Him.
And God respects our free will. So if we aren't asking for the forgiveness, He won't give us that gift, right? So the gift is there, but we have to receive it.
And it's not about how you play the game and how many spaces you move on the board of life. It's about having that deep personal relationship with Him, with His mercy, with His love, and with the next steps He's calling you to.
Does that make sense?
I got you. Your answer simply is yes. I have to repent to God for the sins that I commit. Your answer simply is yes. I got a head injury, and if there's too many words, I'll forget your
Gotcha, Joe. Thanks for letting us know.
So your answer is yes. I have to repent to God in order to get forgiveness from God. Okay. Now my next question, and I'm really trying to learn, you guys. I'm really trying to learn. So my next question is: do you think a lot of people commit sin knowing that they can repent later and God will forgive them?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, you know, we sin. Let's look what sin is. All right, let's define our terms here. All right, so sin.
And I'm sorry, this is going to be quite a few words here because it's not an easy.
Yeah, because it's not
explain.
As simple as you think. So we have a tendency to think that sin is, you know, doing bad things, which it is, right? But it's bigger than that. So the word sin actually is an old archery term. You know, you'll appreciate this as a military guy. It means to miss the mark. Right, and what's the mark that we're missing? Well, we're missing the call to love, right? So being a Christian is all about rejecting the world's understanding of love and embracing God's understanding of love. And being a Christian disciple means I'm committed to learning how to love others, not just the way I feel like loving others, but the way God wants me to, right? So when I sin, what that means is I am missing the mark in trying to love myself or others or God in some way. I've missed the mark. And so when you say, you know, do people sin because they know they can be forgiven? Yes and no. But if I go into a sin saying, oh, I can do this because God's going to forgive me later on, that's actually the sin of presumption.
Exactly.
Right? Presumption is the sin where I do something where I'm going to, you know, I take advantage of God. I'm basically tempting the Lord, essentially, right? I'm taking advantage of God's generosity. So even if I do that, it's not like there's an automatic formula where I'm going to say, okay, God, now forgive me, and then I get this, you know, kind of get out of hell free card. I'm committing a sin against God's generosity.
Exactly. And that is why one cannot walk into a confessional and say, forgive me, Father, I'm about to go murder someone. You cannot be forgiven for something you intend to do and think, okay, well, God's just this, you know, big well of mercy. What God's calling us to, and he is a giant well of mercy, but we're called to live in right order and relationship with him. We're called to dispose our hearts, our minds, and our will into alignment with God's love for us and our love for him, and thereby wanting to please him and live in right order with him. So it's not so much about rules or how you can get around those rules, which is a very worldly way of thinking. It's about saying, Lord, I want my heart, my mind, my whole way of living to move more and more into alignment with your love, your mercy, your example in my life.
So, you know, in the example that you gave, if somebody's committing a sin, saying to themselves, well, God will forgive me later on, they can't be forgiven because they're not repentant. To go back to
the first question. Right?
You know, God does forgive all of us, and his mercy covers all of us. But in order to receive that forgiveness, we need to be repentant, and committing a sin with the intention of, well, taking advantage of God and engaging in that sin of presumption, is not being repentant, and so therefore we can't receive that forgiveness, even though we assume that God's going to forgive us for it. I know that's probably a little wordier than you were hoping for, Joe, but I think that that'll give you some basic understandings of how we think about forgiveness. With that, we got to go to break, but thank you so much for the call. And folks, we are taking your questions about forgiveness and the challenges you're having to forgive yourself or others for whatever reason. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11, who's going to be talking about forgiveness, especially in family life. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, Mercy Me. We're talking about Divine Mercy Sunday that's coming up this weekend and reflecting on forgiveness, both forgiving others and ourselves and the challenges involved in both. 877-573-7825. 7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Lisa.
You know, we were talking over the break, and you were sharing that you wanted to talk about how forgiving involves a lot more than just saying the magic words.
It's so true. And we can think that I say, I'm sorry, they say, I forgive you, we say, I forgive you, and we walk away and we think, okay, neat and done. And that's rarely, rarely the case. I like using the analogy with my kids about the fact that we've been hurt, we've been wounded by an encounter with someone or by something that we did, and we feel, you know, anger and hurt for ourselves. If we think about it as a wound, there are some wounds that just need a Band-Aid, a little bit of antibiotics, soap, and we're good to go. And that's the hurt that happens, you know, maybe with siblings or with your husband, and you're both tired, you're angry, like, I am so sorry, I lost my temper. You say, I forgive you, honey. You kiss, and you go along.
Right. These are the things that when you have a regular relationship with somebody that, like, 99 times out of 100, you're working to be loving to each other, and then you kind of blow it because of, you know, circumstances,
yeah.
You can say, I'm sorry, and I forgive you, and move past it, because it hasn't dug its roots deep into your relationship, right?
Exactly. It was a surface wound, as it were. But there are those wounds we carry that are deep. And they need real medical attention, like the professionals, you know, those injuries that we rush our kids off to the ER or an urgent care. And we, each of us, surely has a wound that requires, I'm going to say, a professional help. I know Matt and I, during the deep throes of our difficult marriage, we had a time where marriage counseling was what we needed. And that month we spent every week going and doing the work that it entailed did so much to heal us and set us up on a much better trajectory now 40 years later. Look at yourself. Do you have a wound you keep looking at again and again, and you relive the conversation and what happened and what you did to yourself or to someone else? Then that means that maybe you need to call in therapist. Find yourself a good book. Take yourself to confession, of course. Bring it to Christ first, but then take it to someone who can help you see it in a new light and give you real medicine, real tools to get to the next day.
Well, Rachel, I think those are really incredible points. I guess I'm wondering, you know, in those times when we're talking with somebody, you know, and we say that we forgive them, you know, so we talk a lot on the show, right, where forgiveness is where we give up our desire to hurt the other person for having hurt us. And then reconciliation, though, is a separate thing, where reconciliation involves two people working together to heal the damage that was done to the relationship. And I think that a lot of people are confused about that. They think that, you know, that if I say I forgive you, that means that everything's gone. But I think what you're talking about here is the need to kind of look at that bigger picture and be okay with the fact that we sometimes still hurt after we've forgiven. But that hurt doesn't mean that we've not forgiven. It means that there's still work to do on rebuilding the relationship, rebuilding the trust, and healing the wounds.
And sometimes that I forgive you is unlocking the door to working toward healing ourselves and possibly that relationship, right?
Exactly. And from where I'm sitting, I could not judge that well with Matthew. I couldn't see it. I kept seeing him in a bad light. I kept reliving those conversations that hurt me. And I needed that extra set of eyes in love to say, Rachel, this is where you are, but this is where you can be, and this is how you can get there. But if I was left to my own devices, I would have just sat and stewed and looked at that, the argument, the situation that happened again and again, because I needed to look out, one, at the eyes of Christ to say, help me to love Matthew better, help me to get to that point. And then, like I said, an expert, the doctors, the people who are trained in this to get me to a point where the wound didn't hurt so much and Matt and I could work together towards a greater and deeper love.
Rachel, thank you so much for being with us today. I always appreciate your insights. And if folks would like to learn more about Rachel Watkins' good work, you can go to beholdpublications.com. That's beholdpublications.com to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club. Check it out. And again, Rachel, thanks for being here. Blessings
to you.
Thank you,
guys.
And we're taking your calls. Listeners at 877-573-7825. You know, forgiveness is not easy, whether we're talking about forgiving other people or forgiving ourselves. And even once we have forgiven, there's still, as we were talking about with Rachel just now, the reconciliation that has to happen, the work that needs to be done. You know, so forgiveness, we can think of, as you were saying, Lisa, forgiveness being the key that unlocks the door to reconciliation.
Yeah. Let's start walking through it.
But reconciliation is another step. It's walking through the threshold of that door that we've opened with forgiveness. And sometimes we can feel guilty because, you know, I've said to this person, I forgive them, but I'm still holding them accountable for their actions. Or I'm still saying, hey, I need to see this change from you. Or I need to see whatever, X, Y, or Z. And they throw that back at us and say, well, I thought you forgave me. Well, we have. But forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things. And if you're getting hung up on that and not quite sure what the next steps might be, either in that process of forgiveness or reconciliation, let's talk about it. 877-573-7825 is the number. Again, that's 877-573-7825. If you're struggling to forgive yourself or others, whether you're having a hard time letting go of the resentment or anger you feel towards someone who hurt you, or you've told them you forgive them, but you're still not sure what to do, or you're feeling guilty because you do have some of those feelings of anger or resentment, maybe somebody's accusing you of being unforgiving, or for that matter, maybe you tend to beat yourself up for past mistakes or struggles. We want to help you connect with God's mercy this Divine Mercy weekend and really understand what it means to embrace the peace and grace that comes from the gifts of mercy and forgiveness. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions about forgiveness when we come back from the break. Stick around.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him? Is that true? It's not true for most people in the church. Is Jesus my best friend? Is he your best friend? I'm looking around the church. There's a set of guys in here who have great man caves. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord said, hey, when are you going to come to my man cave? Like, you guys think a flat screen TV is really cool. Well, you should see what I got to offer. Because I and I alone, he says, can really give you what it is you're longing for. Whoever it is we're rooting for right now, they're going to lose eventually. Or whatever it is that's occupying our time, one day we're going to realize it really wasn't that important. Why aren't we hanging out with the one who alone can show us what life is really all about? When was the last time you hung out in the Lord's man cave?
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Men in general, and fathers in particular, put a tremendous amount of pressure on ourselves. We know that we're meant to lead our wife and children to God. However, many of us weren't raised in homes where this mission was modeled for us. We intuitively know we don't have the first idea how to become the men God wants us to be or how to lead our families to Christ, and it terrifies us. Unfortunately, we often try to cover our ignorance and the fear of our incompetence by setting ourselves up as angry, part-time pagan deities of our household, commanding obedience from everyone around us. But if we fall prey to this temptation, any rebellion we experience on the part of our kids isn't defiance against us. It's actually obedience to the impulse God has created in every one of his children to resist bowing down to any god but him. To learn more about commanding healthy authority as a father, check out my book, Be Dadattitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, we are getting ready for Divine Mercy Sunday, coming up this weekend, by discovering how to forgive ourselves and others. 877-573-7825. Forgiveness is challenging, and if you are struggling to forgive yourself or others, to receive that forgiveness from others, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you complete that healing. Of course, we're taking your calls right now, but if you'd like that more personalized attention, and
as Rachel Watkins was talking about in the last segment,
unpack that and really pursue that healing, then we want to help you find faith-filled ways to respond to those challenges and experience God's grace and peace. Reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. By the way, speaking of CatholicCounselors.com, this coming Tuesday, April 29th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Lisa and I are hosting a live webinar, Discipline Made Easy. You know, it's interesting. The path we tend to follow in forgiveness and healing relationships in adulthood is learned in many ways by how we were parented and how we were disciplined growing up. And a lot of times we have some really unhealthy attitudes about forgiveness and reconciliation that come from the way we were disciplined by our parents. We're going to talk about Discipline Made Easy on Tuesday. How can we bring out the best in our kids without feeling like we're losing our minds? And in particular, what can St. John Bosco and his preventive method teach us about raising godly kids in a way that doesn't drive us crazy? So if you've got questions about discipline and would like to feel more confident as a Catholic parent, overcome specific hurdles that you're dealing with your kids, we hope that you'll join us for our live webinar next Tuesday, April 29th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 Central, titled Discipline Made Easy. And you can learn more about that. Go to the bookstore at CatholicCounselors.com. Check out that course right there. You'll see the description and the registration for it. We'd love to see you next Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And with that, we are taking your calls about forgiveness today on More to Life. Whether you're struggling to forgive yourself or others, we want to help you embrace the peace and grace that comes from living in God's mercy, especially as we come up on this Divine Mercy Sunday weekend.
Amen to that. Let's talk now with Steph, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California.
Hi, Steph. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, good morning. Truly appreciate your program. Just a long-time listener, first-time caller. First of all, I want to give a shout-out. This is in honor of Divine Mercy Weekend, but in honor of the Mercy Nuns out of Omaha.
And oh, yes.
Educated. I had the great privilege to be educated. Brings tears to my eyes. love them. And a couple of them have passed on to eternity. But stay in touch with a couple of them. And just greatest love, gratitude for having that in my life. And I stayed
Amen.
On that
That's
path.
So
Steph,
beautiful.
I got to jump in, though, because we're limited on time. So what's your question for us today?
Okay. It is about, need to have forgiveness, adult sibling who took a different path. We're many decades, we're into our 70s, but adult sibling, and I wrote down the notes, it just struck my heart, called to right order to live in relationship with him, which has been my life's goal. And I have an adult sibling that is into, I think it's called spiritual bypass, new age, into these, every time it's a new guru kind of a person, mastering alchemy, channeling, metta.
Okay.
So you get it. Yeah, a lot of new agey stuff. So how can we help you with that?
Yeah. Really hard. And I had to finally say, I cannot listen to this. I cannot even listen. She sends me video. I said, I cannot continue with this. I love you, but I can't do that. And she kind of cut me off.
And when you say you can't do that, help me under. I mean, I understand the
problem. We certainly don't want you buying into that.
But what is it? What was it doing to you to receive those things from her? I just like to understand.
Wanting to, she wants to talk to. Oh, I got to share you this thing, and I got to share with you this. You know, and like, I'm trying to be a kind. Oh, that's interesting. But then I thought this is taking me down. It was giving. I even broke down and cried because this stuff is crazy. It's insane. And it was giving me headaches.
And Steph,
and not for the sake
were
of
you
the
ever were you ever able to say to her, "Wow, you really seem to be seeking, and I have found the answer you're looking for in my relationship with Jesus Christ and His Church"? Were you ever able to just invite her to look past all of it?
Yeah, but then she uses it and she said, "Fine, let's stop and pray." And then she'll say, "In the name of Jesus Christ," and she'll go off into a prayer, right? And it's just non-ending.
Is that okay, so I'm just gonna jump into it. I think, you know, you say that she's cut you off now. And I want to say if somebody, and I'm speaking to not just you, Steph, but anybody who's in this situation. If somebody that you love is sharing things that are problematic spiritually. You know, the New Age stuff, the manifesting stuff, all those things, you know, that fall really into that New Age category. If you feel that hearing those things is tempting you into participating in them, or in some way undermining your relationship with Jesus Christ and the Church, then it's important in those cases to say, I can't be in the presence of this. I'm not strong enough to be able to, you know, resist this temptation. And so a cutoff might be necessary in a case like that. However, if it is possible for you to be strong in the face of that, then it's helpful when we encounter somebody in this situation to understand that they are seeking something, that they are in their own way seeking God. In a terrible way. They're not doing it right at all. Right?
Yeah, they're taking the wrong pathways to find Him, but their soul is seeking God and His truth. They know they need Him. They just don't know how to find Him.
And so being able to say to that person, you know, it seems to me that you are looking for peace or forgiveness or security or, you know, whatever the benefit is that's behind the thing. And then using that as an opportunity to say, and this is how I have found this in Christ Jesus. This is how I have found this in my walk as a Catholic disciple of Christ. And now you can't make somebody believe the gospel, but you don't want to limit the potential for the Holy Spirit to use you as a channel of grace in that person's life. Again, if you are strong enough to resist the temptation of participating in it or reward. And it's important to understand the difference between accompaniment and approval.
Yes, please.
Pope Francis talked a lot about accompaniment, and sometimes people understood him to say, well, you should just kind of go along to get along, or you should somehow just, you know, approve of what the other person is doing, even if they're doing something wrong. That's not what accompaniment is. So approval is just saying to the person, oh, yeah, that's really interesting. Tell me more about that. And that's fantastic. I'm so glad you found that. And obviously, we can't do that about a person participating in spiritually problematic things or sinful activities. That's not okay. But we can accompany them, just like God walks with us, even when we're sinning, even when we're on the wrong path. He comes and He finds us where we are, and He tries to lead us to a healthier path. And so accompaniment means being willing to walk along with that person, and even if I disagree with what they're doing, working to understand why they're doing it, what's the need they're trying to meet by doing that thing, and then saying, you know, that's a really good thing to want. Let me tell you how I've received that gift from the Lord in my life. Let me show you a better path. And you can't make them accept it, but you're also not approving or rewarding the bad thing they're doing. You're walking with them, maintaining that relationship, but continually inviting them into a deeper relationship with Christ and with His Church. So if you have the opportunity to take that approach with your sister, then I would encourage you to do so. If, on the other hand, you know, you were saying that you know, her tendency to just sort of go on about the thing was really undermining in some ways your peace, your relationship with God and the Church, then it's okay to set boundaries around that. But wherever it's possible, we want to try to avoid those cutoffs so that God can use us as an instrument of conversion, of healing, of grace. So just some things to pray about, Steph.
And it's important, two things are important to remember. As Greg said, you can't be assured that she will follow you into your relationship with Christ, into the Catholic Church. But the invitation is what matters. And just as Jesus invited people over and over and over, some left everything behind and followed Jesus and became his disciples. The rich young man in particular was like, no, that's too hard for me. And he walked away. We all have free will. Your sister has free will. But if somebody can walk alongside of her and show her how to find everything that is good and true and beautiful in Christ Jesus and his church, that is a wonderful way to live out your discipleship if you are strong in it. If the disciples hadn't gone out into the world to people who believe differently, we would never have had the Christian world and the Catholic Church that we now have. Okay. So make sure you're strong in your own faith. And if you feel like you're not being tempted into somebody else's spirituality and you can stay strong in your own faith, then that allows you to be a witness, a loving witness to how to get our needs met. Because Christ can meet all our needs. So take that to prayer, Steph, and see what God's calling you to do next.
Well, let's go to Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas. Maria, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Oh, good morning, yes. Oh, such a multifaceted question, but I'll start with saying that I have elderly sisters from the age of 90 to 79. So, and I'm 75. But anyway, it seems like, no, it doesn't seem like. Every time I go to visit them, they all live together. Oh, each one of them are very opinionated and very strong-willed, and they each want to, quote-unquote, win the argument every time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just yesterday, I went over there, and I swear, I was just like, I blessed myself as soon as I entered the house, because it's like every single time.
Maria, you told our screener that you know, when you're talking with them, that a lot of the things that you say to them are misunderstood.
Exactly.
And tend to provoke an argument. Is that what you're asking for some help with, how to deal with
it
that?
It provokes arguments because they misunderstand, misconstrue, or intentionally, you know.
Okay. So let's talk about that. In a healthy relationship, when we say something that either falls flat or rubs the other person the wrong way, in a healthy relationship, that other person is able to give us the benefit of the doubt and say, hey, Maria, there's something about what you said that's just not sitting right with me. You know, what'd you mean by that? And they give us a chance to take another run at it. In an unhealthy relationship, the person says, you said that. And I know what you meant by that. And you're a terrible person for even thinking it, much less saying it.
And
dare you?
They dig their heels in and they don't give you a chance to say, hold on a minute, that's not what I meant. Let me clarify that so we can be on the same page. Which is, you know, if somebody's coming at you that way and you can pause them and do that and they go, oh wait, you didn't mean it? I thought you did. Let's talk about this. That can diffuse the situation, put you back on that healthy relationship path with them.
But there are certain people, and we talk about what I kind of call sick love languages sometimes. There are certain people who have learned a manipulative way to keep you in relationship with them. And one of those ways is by being unforgiving. Because when people are unforgiving, the normal response to that from other people is to work harder to get them to forgive you. And so your sister, by intentionally misunderstanding you, keeps you in the relationship because you feel like you have to keep trying to get her to understand or get her to forgive, and she set herself against that.
And since your sisters live together, that's probably rubbing off on each other, which is why you get that whole group of sisters acting that way when you walk in the door.
So that's not your fault. That's really got nothing to do with you. It's their way of keeping people in relationship with them. It's not a healthy way to do it, but it is a way to do it. And so the best thing you can do in that situation is to set boundaries. And that's not being unforgiving. Because, again, forgiving someone means that I don't want to hurt them for having hurt me. I don't want to put them in the position of hurting themselves, right? And as Catholics, we don't just avoid sin, we avoid near occasions of sin too. You know, if we feel like, and so sometimes we can be a near occasion of sin for somebody else. So, for example, if you can't be around your sister without your sister being provoked to behave in this obnoxious way, then sometimes the most loving thing you can do is be around your sister is less. Right? But I would suggest starting with saying, you've really taken this the wrong way, and you know, I hope you love me enough to be willing to let me clarify what I was saying, and not react to everything that I'm saying in such an offensive way. If you don't think you can do that, I'm going to need to go. You know, I'm going to need to end this conversation because I can't work with you. I can't be in a relationship with you if you're going to be so uncharitable.
So Maria, when you walk into the house and these conversations start and they start acting like you said something you didn't, pause them and say, hey, wait a minute. I don't think you heard me correctly. What did you hear me say? And let them clarify what they thought you said. And when it's wrong, you can say, oh, wait a minute. You did not really hear what I said. Let me clarify.
And you can even say, I understand why you'd be upset if you thought that's what I said. That's not what I said or meant at all. Now, in a healthy relationship, the other person will accept that. In an unhealthy relationship where the person is using unforgiveness as their love language, then they won't forgive you or they won't give you the chance to clarify, or they'll say, oh, you're just saying that now because you're trying to get out of whatever you did say. Then that has nothing to do with you. That is their sick love language of unforgiveness, which is intended to keep you in the relationship without them having to do healthy things. So, Maria, take that to prayer and really reflect on what that means in terms of the boundaries you need to set and the clarifications you can offer to be able to have a healthier relationship with your sisters. Thanks so much for the call. With that, we have to go to break. As we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 7.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy.
Just an important reminder of always treating others in a manner that reminds them of their dignity and worth in God's eyes, because that's what mercy is. And that's what we're talking about today on More to Life as we prepare for this Divine Mercy Sunday weekend. We're reflecting on forgiving ourselves and others. 877-573-7825.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. We're talking about forgiveness, and let's go to our next caller, Jason, listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia. Jason, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you.
What can we do for you, Jason?
So my wife, we're separated, cheated, and like, I'm having this hard time of like understanding the scripture about like Jesus said you can divorce your wife in the case of adultery and versus forgiveness and say versus like what the world would say upgrading because like she cheated and therefore you could just get a different wife. Thank you.
I'm not clear I understand your... So what are you personally struggling with in this whole challenge, you know, of being separated from your wife and her infidelity?
I'm personally struggling with the aspect of forgiveness versus, like, moving on, because I think the right answer would be to forgive my wife, but there is, like, this worldly notion, even with another woman involved, of saying, hey, like, did she... She cheated on you. You should just move on, upgrade because like she cheated, and like I think that's wrong. But I don't know how to. Like half of my friends are saying like, you know, on one side, half on the other.
And just so I understand the context here, are you Catholic? And have you? Are you? And
were you married?
I recently converted to Catholicism, and we weren't married in the church.
Okay. Were you married? Are you both baptized Christians?
I think she's actually Catholic, but my wife, but she hasn't been to church in a long time because her father has said something about her father.
Well, that's all right. I just asked that question because, I apologize for cutting you off, but we only got about 2.5 minutes, and so I want to make sure I give you something before we have to get out of here. But first of all, I'm so sorry that you're going through this. This is an extraordinarily painful thing. The verse you're talking about, though, is in Matthew. I want to say it's Matthew 9:12, off the top of my head. But it talks about not different translations do different things. The word porneia is translated sometimes as adultery, sometimes as prostitution. In the Catholic version of it, it's unless the marriage is unlawful. And interestingly enough, we were actually attending a talk last night by Ken and Lair on this specific thing. But as a Catholic, the next step for you is going to be speaking with your pastor about what might need to happen to discern with the church whether this marriage was valid in the first place. The reason I say that is because marriage in the church is a very different thing than marriage just in general. You know, there's natural marriage that God has given to us, and it's a beautiful gift. But then there's the sacrament of marriage, which is a different thing altogether, where it's saying, I'm not just going to, you know, claim my kids and share my stuff and pay taxes together. I believe that God has placed this person in my life to be, second only to Jesus Christ, my best hope for becoming everything God created me to be in this life and to get each other to heaven in the next.
And I'm going to commit myself to helping this person do that, and they're going to commit themselves to helping me do that.
In order to have a valid Catholic marriage, you have to, at least on some level, be implicitly willing to do what I just described. You have to be capable of and intending to be that person that wants to help your spouse become everything God created them to be and help each other get to heaven in the next life. Now, again, not everybody walks into church and says, yes, that's what I want to do. But on some level, we kind of recognize that that's the call. And if we're open to that call, then that's a valid marriage. But if we're not capable of serving that purpose in my spouse's life, if I'm not intending to serve that purpose in my spouse's life, that may not be a marriage that God called you into. So forgiving your wife means I don't want harm to come to her. I'm not going to go out of my way to badmouth her or make her life more difficult. You know, the divorce proceedings or the custody arrangements. I'm going to do what I can to be an upstanding and charitable person here as I work through all my pain. I'm not going to hold any of that against her. But it doesn't mean staying there. What it means is discerning with the church what your next steps are. So the engagement process is supposed to be about discerning with the church whether God is calling you into this relationship. The annulment process is discerning with the church whether God did not call you into the relationship in the first place, and whether God has another plan for you.
And Jason, if God does have another plan for you, don't jump into it. You mentioned another woman. Do not jump into that, because what you need to commit yourself to right now is your relationship with Christ, really learning your faith, and addressing anything that may have made your marriage undoable so that you would not repeat that in a sacramental marriage.
So I would encourage you to reach out to your pastor, number one, and also pursue some pastoral counseling to really look for faithful ways to heal the wounds and get clarity about God's plan for your future. Thanks for the call. And folks, if you are struggling with forgiveness, either forgiving yourself or others, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Let us hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.